congregation to sing the first verse of Silent Night. Once there was a woman named Mary and a man named Joseph. Mary was going to have a baby, and the baby was God's son. Mary and Joseph traveled by donkey to a town named Bethlehem. While they were there, it was time for the baby to be born. We ask for the congregation to sing the first verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was very crowded, and Mary and Joseph had trouble finding somewhere to stay. All the inns were full. They found a place that was safe and warm, but it wasn't a room where people usually stayed. In it was a manger that held food for the cows and other animals. After the baby was born, Mary wrapped him to keep him warm and placed him in the manger to sleep. Who was this baby? We ask for the congregation to sing the first verse of Away in a Manger. Nearby, there were shepherds in the fields taking care of their sheep. Suddenly, an angel from God appeared. We ask for the congregation to sing the first verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The shepherds were scared. The angel surprised them, and they didn't know what to think. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I've come to tell you some good news. The Savior has been born. Go see him." So the shepherds and their sheep went to find Jesus. They were amazed when they saw him. They told lots of people about baby Jesus. We asked the congregation to sing the chorus to "Go Tell It on the Mountain." This is the story of God's Christmas gift to us. Look at this nativity scene. We built the story, didn't we? What an amazing story. God must love us very much to give us baby Jesus. Jesus is the best Christmas gift of all.
Him. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the lighting of our Advent candles. Praise to you, O God, who lives with us, sharing our flesh and bones. As Mary waited and Joseph dreamed, so we wait and dream for you. Bless us and let your face shine upon us, more radiant than these candles, and more dear than all else we seek. Restore us when we fail to refuse the evil and choose the good, and banish all our fears. We pray in the name of Emmanuel, your promised child and our Savior. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to be weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. "Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim." Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name. A reading from Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may recall from last week, we had John the Baptist sitting in prison, wondering if Jesus is the Messiah or if they are they to wait for another. Jesus was not meeting John the Baptist's expectations. God not coming to us as we expect is certainly something that we see on the fourth Sunday of Advent this year. Not just the Messiah coming to us in unexpected ways, but in a way that is scandalous. In our culture and society, often being religious means that you're to be good and look good. And in our gospel lesson from Matthew, we hear that Joseph took on this trait seriously. He was a righteous man. Joseph sought to embody what is right. And we often get in trouble with the concept of righteousness and being righteous is that we then notice what other people aren't doing, right? When we get caught up in what's being righteous, then we might notice, hey, what they're doing is unrighteous. That's where we get in trouble. And Joseph here is confronted with a scandal that can do great harm to his righteous reputation. His concern is that other people will judge him and his family for being unrighteous. Maybe we shouldn't be too quick to praise Joseph here. Sure, he could have made things very bad for Mary and doesn't want to cause her harm immediately or overtly. But because he knows that if people discover that the one to whom he's engaged to is now pregnant, he's primarily consumed with his own reputation. Because dismissing Mary quietly doesn't get rid of the pregnancy, does it? She's still going to be pregnant. Joseph might be able to save himself, but ultimately he cannot save Mary from the public scandal and judgment that would follow. Righteousness in our world is based on what we do. It is by definition works righteousness. We must do the right things and say the right things, or else we could be accused of causing harm and scandal. We're not being considered good or righteous in our world. Now, our words certainly matter. Our actions certainly matter. We want the world to love us. We want God to love us. No matter how much we say that it is God's work that saves us, the cultural message is far too strong in conveying that our words and actions is where we find salvation in the world. Even among the religious, the grace of God is lip service to the need for righteous actions being linked to whether or not you are righteous or even considered a Christian. There are churches where if you think differently on a particular issue in our society, then you are not a righteous person or considered a real Christian. There are churches that will go as far to say who you vote for is a determining factor of whether you are a righteous person or a real Christian. No room for nuance or people coming to different conclusions for different reasons. And such a weaponization of that kind of righteousness is an abuse both civically and theologically and spiritually. There are so many things in our lives that then can be held under a microscope. and some who seek to control us under this definition of righteousness and conform our own spirit to fill a small and narrow box of what it means to be righteous and to maintain that righteousness, that maintain that good reputation in all that we do in the world, to what all from across the spectrum, to what we wear, who we keep company with, the convictions we hold. If we buy into that, who are we serving? Are we serving God? When we make sure that we keep walking this narrow path of worldly righteousness, or are we serving people? As Timothy Hoyer puts it, to serve righteousness as our God is to serve the creature instead of the Creator. In Joseph's dream, the angel tells him that Mary will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As Joseph is working diligently to save himself and to preserve his righteousness, he hears of this child that is coming who will literally save all people from their unrighteousness, which is all of us. No matter what we've done to maintain righteousness in society, no matter what we've done to lose righteousness in our society, Jesus has come to save us. That the good news is that we belong to God because of God's love for us, not because of our actions, not because of our movement towards God, but because of God's movement towards us. For those who have been pushed away from the church and to the margins of society, Jesus has come to save them. And even for those who are gatekeepers in church and society, Jesus has come to save them. It is Jesus who has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And the life that we are to live as Christians is to trust in his promise that we are forgiven and made new in Christ. If you notice in our story of faith, the scandal does not end at his birth. There is the scandal of the cross of Christ, which ultimately serves as our righteousness. As we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The unexpected scandal in which God comes to us is a constant in our story of faith. Yet we are quick to not enter the very scandal that God has entered. The initial impulse of Joseph, of you and me, is to keep our distance from certain people in the world. And I confess, I wrestle with this all the time. How does my presence in this place, or how does my walking with those people, how's that all going to be seen and interpreted? But you know what? God is in those places. God is with those people. And God has created those people, and they reflect the image and likeness of God. The very Creator that desires to be in communion with them. Who are we to stay away? The scandal of the cross and the righteousness that we receive from the cross enables us to walk across the chasms of society that have been bridged by that cross of Christ. God doesn't keep a distance from us. The good news is that God is with us. So then our response is not to keep our distance from anyone. The distance between us and God has been closed through Jesus. And following the way of Jesus, we will walk with those who have been disgraced by offering them grace. We will welcome those who have been despised. We will seek to support the poor, lift up the lowly, and respect those who are different from us. To love and respect those who are different from us, and maybe to love and respect those who we don't understand, and even take the time to listen to them. The good news is that God is with us, and responding to this good news, that there is no gap or chasm between us and God, that God is with us, that we should seek to be with all those in whom God is present with an end, which is everyone. everywhere. And as God's holy people, God's holy church, be ready to share the love of Jesus with everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, our shepherd, let your Spirit move with power throughout the church. Give discernment and wisdom to our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders. Take away our fear so that we serve and love, confident that you are guiding us. God, in your mercy, God, our source, awaken us to the beauty of the earth and the marvelous variety of life. Unite humankind in repairing and caring for your creation. Protect creatures and habitats in peril due to rising seas and warming temperatures. God, in your mercy, God, our vision, raise up leaders in every nation who dream of freedom and justice for all people. We pray for the work of international organizations that promote peace and human rights, especially Amnesty International. God, in your mercy, God, our helper, come to the aid of all who cry out to you. Shelter migrants, refugees, and those fleeing war and famine. Bring relief to individuals and families experiencing hunger, homelessness, or impoverishment. Comfort any who are isolated or lonely. God, in your mercy, God, our Emmanuel, you are with us in our life together. We give you thanks for gathering us in worship and fellowship, and we remember those who cannot be present. Watch over those who travel, heal the sick, and speed their recovery, especially Justin, Tracy, Scott, and Connie, Maddie, Scott, the family of Joe Cook, Marjorie, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. God, in your mercy, God, our hope, you bring life out of death, and you promise to be our God forever. Shine upon the faithful who now rest in the fulfillment of your promise, and bring us also into your blessed reign of peace. God, in your mercy.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you make the desert bloom and send springs of water to thirsty ground. Receive these simple gifts of bread, wine, and money, and make us messengers of your mercy and love for all in need of your healing and justice. We ask this through Christ our Savior.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise, glory, and honor are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated.
This time I'd like to invite
forward to communion assistants and those who are participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the lectern side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in this meal you have remembered your mercy, bringing heaven to earth in the body and blood of Christ. As we wait for the day when all your promises will be fulfilled, sustain us and strengthen us by this holy mystery. Guide us toward your promised future, coming to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus, and who holds us in grace by the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.